And so tonight, before we begin, we do have a little unfinished business from the past week. And that last week, there were two anniversaries celebrated, and we didn't sing happy anniversary. The Harveys celebrated 53 years on the day after Christmas, so that was Tuesday last week. And then the Hammonds celebrated 51 years on Friday. So for that, I think we need to sing them happy anniversary. What do you think? I think we need to do that. And so we'll sing happy anniversary, God bless you, because I don't think we're going to try to stick Hammonds and Harveys in the same sense. So God bless you. Here we go. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And since we have a birthday tomorrow, let's sing happy birthday to Brother Hammonds. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Hammonds. Happy birthday to you. Excellent job. Now, that's the only birthday song I get to lead all year long, because Brother Hammonds does the other ones, and he's not one to lead his own song. So, we want to wish him happy birthday, and I'll let you ask him how old he is, and he is still very young. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. All right. So we have very special service tonight in that we were going to have this Sunday night, but we had to cancel. So we moved it to tonight in that we are going to be having two of our young men preach. So could the candidates for preaching right here sit in the front row right here for me? Both of you sit right here. And you don't know which one I'm going to choose first. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about why we do this. That this is very important, I believe, that young men of any church, not just our church, but of any church, that are in good standing up young men, all right? So I think you guys are upstanding, okay? That's why you're here, all right? I asked them, or they volunteered. No one really volunteered this year, except for one. Isaiah volunteered, so I recruited Adam to do this. But I think it's very important that our young men know how to preach. Maybe God doesn't call them to preach, that's okay. But that they at least get experience doing it, because God might call them to be a Sunday school teacher, a children's church teacher, or even teach a VBS sometime. And I did it. I was very thankful for the opportunities I got to preach after I was in college. And one year I was asking my pastor, what can I do? I want to help in the church, and I want to be a blessing, and he said, well, I do have an opening for you. He said, you're going to love this job. I said, oh, what is it? What is it? I said, on Wednesday, I want you to teach the 4th through 6th grade young people during what they usually do. One is during the summertime. And I said, great, what curriculum do I use? I said, oh, there's no curriculum. You have to preach to them. You have to teach them. You have to do a game with them and do something and do a craft with them. I said, there's no curriculum. He said, nope, you got to figure it out. And I did. But I was thankful. I mean, it was nerve-wracking the first couple of weeks, and I was scrambling. I didn't know what to do, but the Lord used that in my life and taught me something. And then the next year, I was asking my pastor. I was kind of timid this time. You know, what do you want me to do? You know, what is he going to ask me? So he asked me to teach VBS. And it was three different age groups, so I taught three times a night for 5 days. The same lesson, but in different, you know, age appropriate levels. And at that time, and I loved it ever since, and I've taught VBS ever since. That's why I teach VBS, because it's one of the things I love to do, and doing that as a young man prepared me to do that. And I'm just thankful that I'm able to give these young men this opportunity. So, gentlemen, I have some instructions for you. So you have 10 minutes. Okay? So when you get to 10 minutes, when I stand up in the back, that means I'm coming for you. No, it's not it. No, when I stand up in the back, that's just a signal that your 10 minutes is up. Wrap it up in the next couple minutes, okay? So when I stand up, don't stop. I'm done. No, you've got a couple minutes to close it down, but that your time has expired, okay? And that's important. In college, they taught me, if the pastor says 10 minutes, you preach 10 minutes. If the pastor says 11 minutes and 30 seconds, you preach 11 minutes and 30 seconds. And, you know, Danny says, Danny's not here, I can say this about him. Danny's probably listening. But Danny can be long-winded a little bit. But he's learning. He got it, getting the time down there. He's learning that. But I don't. Are you guys going to be long-winded? Maybe. You have something good to say, you will. So it's good. All right, so tonight, we'll start off with Isaiah tonight. And I don't have a microphone to give you or anything. Just stand behind the pulpit and go ahead and preach, okay, Isaiah? And whenever you're done, you're done. You can be done before the 10 minutes is up, okay? If you're done, you're done. I understand that. But we'll let you come up here first. But first, let's ask for the Lord's blessing and ask for a word of prayer on these young men tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless them, dear Lord. And I pray that you bless the messages that you laid upon their heart. And Lord, they've shared with me what they're planning to preach tonight, Lord, and such wonderful messages with so much power in them. I pray, Lord, that you'd use them. And Lord, that you would calm any nerves that they might have. And Lord, I remember the first time that I preached, and I was so nervous and scared. Lord, you still used me. And Lord, I pray that you'd use these young men. And Lord, that you would give them thy confidence and that they would preach thy word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Isaiah, come on up here.
Well, good evening. Thank you all for coming, and I hope this message is a blessing. But every message should be a blessing, and with that, let's get right in with it. I'm going to be preaching on how to be fruitful in soul winning. And the first thing first, you're going to need two things when you go soul winning, and you're going to need to do three things before you go. And the first thing you're going to need is, of course, you're going to need God with you. And second, you're going to need to have faith. Let's turn to Matthew 17:20. And you're asking, how much faith do you need to do this? And this is going to explain that you don't really need a lot. God prefers you to have a lot, but he says you don't need a lot to do this. And Matthew chapter 17, number 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, before this, it was talking about how a man was possessed with a demon, and a young boy was possessed with a demon, and the father had taken him to the disciples and could not cure him. And so he took him to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. And the disciples went to Jesus and said, well, you have little faith because you did not have faith. And he said this verse. And so you don't need a lot of faith to do this. You just need a small amount of faith and in God that he can work something in the person's heart. And you're asking, why do I need faith? And we turn to Hebrews 11. I didn't think of this until just this morning. Verse 6, and it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you need to have faith, because it is impossible to please God without faith. So, and you're asking, how do I get faith? Well, let's turn to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. And God's word says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you need to, which is going to take us into a next point, you need to read God's word in order to get faith to do what you're doing. And asking, why do we need to read God's word? And not just read God's word, you need to study it and know what you're going to say, because there's going to be points in your life when you don't have the Bible with you. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. And God's word says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you need to study the word of God to know what you're saying, because there's points when you don't have the Bible and you need to know where the verses are, and you need to give them hope that God can save them. And you need to have your heart pure as well. While reading God's word, you need to get your heart right with God. And that would turn to 1 Peter 3:8-15. 1 Peter 3:15. And God's word says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So you need to, when you be ready, study the word of God, and to have your heart pure, sanctify yourself before the Lord. And when someone asks you a question, you need to be ready with the verse where, so you can tell him about Christ. And you see, what else do you need to do? You need to pray. And we'll turn to Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. And God's word says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Not only do you pray for yourself and for wisdom and what you're saying, you need to pray for the other people that they can have wisdom to grasp what you're saying and to take it to heart. And also, let's turn to God also gives us encouragement in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And God's word says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So Christ is giving his disciples encouragement by saying that that the Holy Spirit will come unto them and comfort them and give them the words to say while they preach his word. And let's look at Acts 2:1-4. Acts 2:1-4. And what... And let's read there. And God's word says, "And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord." So you need to be in one place, and if you have fellow people going out with you, you need to pray together and get God's Holy Spirit to come upon you. And it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." So while they were praying in the upper room, all together in one place, Holy Spirit came unto them and gave them comfort and allowed them to speak other people's languages so they could preach the gospel. And the last thing we'll need is you need to see the need of soul winning. And let's turn to Jude 1:23. And God's word says, "And the others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So we need to be fearful for those who are dying and going to a real place of punishment called hell and going to be burning in a lake of fire. And some of people today just think like, oh, well, I'm saved. And someone will have to tell those who are not. And they just sit down and just do their regular day devotions and don't go out and tell anybody about Christ. But right here that they eat, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. We should hate the sin, but love the person, like be an example of Christ and save people out of the fear that is within us for them. And let's turn to Matthew 28:18-20. And here God gives us the great commandment to go out and preach the gospel. Here in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we need to, here he's telling us that we need to go out and to have courage and to speak unto the people and baptize them as a symbol of their faith in Christ. And to baptize them in the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, and not of anything else. And to teach them to observe the things around them, and to keep away of sin, and to stay and get closer to God. And while before I close, we need to get the soul winning classes in the first day. The man said to get off our lazy boys. We need to get off our lazy boys and go get other people to get off their lazy boys and go so that we can take the gospel around. And I thank you so much for Pastor Harvey and Pastor Spurbeck for getting deciding to get out of their lazy boy and to go and to preach the gospel and teaching others how to go and preach the gospel. And I thank you all the others who have stepped up in faith and decided to go out soul winning with them. And with that, we'll close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for saying, Lord, thank you for the time we had together. Thank you for allowing me to preach tonight. Please help Adam as he preaches his sermon. Give him wisdom and the words to say. And thank you so much for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Very good message. Very biblical message. Very, very good. And 10 minutes on the button. Very good job, Isaiah. So now, Adam, you got a tough act to follow there. All right, so now we have Adam Hallman come. And you come and preach the word for us tonight, Adam.
Okay. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I'm going to be speaking on the humility of Jesus Christ as he, starting from his birth to his death and burial. And my three points are Jesus becoming a man, Jesus' earthly ministry, and Jesus' crucifixion. Okay. Let this mind, and the Bible says in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Like I said, I'm going to start with Jesus' birth. Many people think that It was no small thing for Jesus to come down and become a man to die for us. But we must remember that he is God, and he had to come down and put himself in filthy rags and become a man just like the rest of us are, become human just like the rest of us are. And the first thing that really showed his humility here on earth is that he was born in a stable. Stables were not very clean. There were filthy animals, sheep. And another part of his birth that showed his humility is that he was born into a poor family. Mary and Joseph were not rich. They had to buy turtle doves for a substitute for the regular sacrifice, because that was one of the things they had to do was they had to offer a sacrifice after the child was born. He also put himself under Mary and Joseph and obeyed them. While he was God at the same time. And during Jesus' earthly ministry, he showed his humility by traveling from city to city, helping the sick, preaching. If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew 8:20. The Bible tells us that he had no place to stay while during his earthly ministry. And Jesus said unto them, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Like the verse says, he had nowhere to stay. He traveled, healed the sick, and he chose to stay with the common, everyday people and reach them instead of reaching the Pharisees, because they had already rejected him. Which brings another point. He was rejected of his own people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. If you would turn to John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So he chose disciples from the lowest people in Israel, fishermen and tax collectors and other such people as they were. So and my third point is Jesus' crucifixion. If you would turn to Philippians 2:8 again. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The crucifixion process was not a very pleasant one. The process of this was gruesome, and often the victim died before he even was hung on the cross. So what the crucifixion entailed, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was mocked by the Roman soldiers. He was spit on. He was, his beard was pulled out. And he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word for us so that nobody would find him guilty. So he would become, so he would remain the perfect sacrifice so he could take our sins. And if you would turn to Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. God could have called down any time a legion of angels to carry him away to heaven and kill everyone that was present because he was God. But he decided to humble himself and become a man and go through the process of crucifixion to take our sin penalty. The main thing that catches me during the crucifixion story is that God the Father had to turn his back on Jesus while he was on the cross because of the sin that Jesus was taking upon himself. Although we may think that this stuff may be humiliating and embarrassing, Jesus did this all for us because we needed him to make a way for us to get to heaven. We cannot get there by ourselves, and we have to go by him to the Father, and he will go to the Father and intercede on our behalf so that we may go to heaven. We think that witnessing is hard. Isaiah gave a message on that. It's not really hard, but another main thing that we have to focus on is humbling ourselves and remembering that God came down and reached to the poorest, rottenest sinners and brought them up and created men such as the Saint Peter, James, John, Paul. So if Christ can do it, we can do it. In closing, I would like to read Philippians 2:5-8 again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in closing, we need to go out, witness, find the lost, bring them to Jesus, and not fear death, humiliation, and other persecutions that the devil can throw at us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, and I thank you for giving me and Isaiah these words to speak, and I thank you, Lord, for using us. And I pray, Lord, that somebody found one of these messages a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us strength to do this and helping us through this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Very good job, Adam. Very good. So this is the first time both of y'all preach? Very good job. Very, very good job. Excellent job. All right. Now it's my turn. So I have a short amount of time, but Philippians chapter 3. Had to take my Sunday night message and condense it down some. So it's only a quarter of a page. So hopefully that should only take a few minutes here. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 that we looked at Sunday morning. And we'll look at verses 13 and 14 But we're going to be focusing on verse 14 tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We looked at Sunday morning at how the devil loves to bring up our past failures, our past sin, our unrealized hopes, and make us despair for the future. And what Paul had to remember was that he needed to forget what was behind. Paul had a lot to forget, and we went over that Sunday morning. But what are we looking forward to? We're in a new year. We have another 362 days. I think I had subtracted that, right? You know, I'll think about that for a second. 362 days left in this year. Pretty soon, the first week of the year will be over. What are your goals for 2018? And a message entitled, what are your goals? What are your goals for the new year? Now, I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions that we halfway endeavor to keep. You know, one New Year's resolution, everybody's is to lose weight. You know, after Christmas, I am losing weight. Definitely, that's one of my resolutions. But I would like to make that one of my goals. But when I'm talking about goals, do we have a direction that we are going in with our life for this year? As to, well, I have God's calling upon my life, that's great. But do you have, what is your direction for this year? Brother Starr, when he was here for revival, he taught the Bible Institute class. And one of the best messages I ever heard about setting goals. And do you have goals set? And not only for young people, but every single person in here today, have you set a goal for 2018? I'm talking about real attainable goals for our life. Biblical goals, godly goals. Let's look at some men of the Bible and their goals for life. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. A passage that we know very well, but the goal of this man, being Peter and also the disciples, was obedience. Their goal was obedience, for their life was to obey the Lord. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. And God's word says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this was their goal, that they were to obey God no matter what. They were told by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, not to preach about Jesus anymore. They were not to preach about salvation only through Jesus Christ. They were not to preach anymore that the way of sacrifices was not the way of salvation, that the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was incorrect. They were told it is illegal for you to preach the gospel. Stop preaching in this name of Jesus. And what this was their answer. They had made a decision. That was their goal, to obey God no matter what. And our is obedience to the Lord our goal for 2018. When God says go, that we do it. When God shows us in His Word what we're to do, do we do it? That's a goal that should be every single day of our life, that we are going to obey God. And we see that all through the Bible, that we see men, that their goal was to obey God. That David's goal was to obey God. Gideon's goal was to obey God. Elijah's goal was to obey God. Now, did they always obey God all the time? No, they didn't. They made mistakes. But they always came back to obedience to God. A second is Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. A second goal is service. Service to the Lord. Joshua 24, 15, a verse that we know very, very well. Very well-known verse. It's right up there with John 3:16 and others. That in our life, we have made a decision. It is our goal every single day that we live. The goal for 2018 is to serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Are we serving God this year? Is that our goal this year? Well, it's my goal this year to make money. It's my goal this year to do that. It's my goal this year to do this or that. And those may be good goals to have, but does the service of the Lord enter into your goal setting? does the service of God, that I'm going to obey God, and because I obey Him and I love Him, I'm going to serve Him. Amen. That should be the process that we go through. Every day we have a decision to make. I'm going to obey God and I'm going to serve Him today. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So, well, I already decided I'm going to serve God. Well, that's great, but if you don't plan and have a goal of service to God, you won't get there. If you aim at nothing, you'll sure hit it. Amen. You know, if you take a firearm or something like that, and you just aren't aiming at anything, and you just fire it, you know, you're going to hit something, but it doesn't matter what you hit because you weren't aiming at anything. But if you're aiming at something and you have a target in front of you and you take steps, you know, you aim it and you make sure that your gun's ready, you aim it and you maybe factor in the wind of depending how far you're shooting, and you're trying to hit that goal. And that's what we see here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. So look here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark, a place, a goal, something to look towards. There's never been an Olympic runner who ever won any race that said, well, I'm just going to run and see what happens. No, they're looking toward that finish line. They're looking toward the goal. They're going forward. They said, I'm fixing my eyes on that goal and I am going to run. And Eric Little, known as the Flying Scotsman, he was a very dedicated Christian, went to be a missionary in Japan, and was in China, and was missionary there, and was captured by the Japanese during World War II and died of a brain tumor while he was there. But he won gold medals in the Olympic Games of 1933, I believe. And he was there, and this is what he would say whenever he ran, because he ran and he looked hilarious when he ran, because he didn't have proper form or anything. He just ran for it. He said, for the first half of the race, I run with all my might, and then for the second half, I trust God for the second half. And that's how he lived his life. He went forward for the Lord. He had a goal, and he let God take care of the rest. Many times that we say, well, I'm not going to go step out for God. I'm not going to go and serve Him until I see everything all put into place, until I see the whole end from the beginning. You don't see that all the time. We need to go out in faith. No runner, no athlete, nobody has ever gone out, so, well, I'm just going to go out and my life is going to be a success because I just go out and live it. Do you have a goal? Are you going somewhere? Set a goal for yourself. Spiritual goals, biblical goals. Setting goals for yourself in Bible study. Setting goals for yourself in prayer time. Setting goals for yourself and how you want, love to see God use you this year. As well, I'll just be used how God wants to use me. Yes, but you know, God wants us to ask Him, Lord, can I be used in this way? God wants us to volunteer. A lot of times we think life is a bench that we just wait for God to call on us. We're just sitting on the bench waiting for Him to call us into the game. God wants everybody in the game. He said, He waiting for the Lord, coach, please put me in. I want to play. Will you put me in? And God will put you in. He'll put you in service to Him. Serve Him this year. Is that your goal? Third is victory. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:22. 1 Corinthians 9:22. What was the goal of Paul in his life? We looked at this the other week. 1 Corinthians 9:22. What was the goal of Paul? What was the character of Paul? This verse summed up his life. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That's Paul's goal in his life, to be able to save some. Able to see victory. When we see someone get saved, that's a victory. We say we don't ever see victory over sin. When you see someone saved, that's victory over sin. Amen? That's victory, eternal life. But how do we see victory from sin in our own life? Because if we have a goal of obedience and a goal of service, then we're going to have victory. But do we have a goal? Do we intend to succeed? Many times we plan to fail. Well, I'm probably not going to be able to do this. It's probably not going to work out. Well, if you plan to fail, you will. Amen? But if you trust God and say, God called me to do this, God directed me to do this, so God's going to make it successful. When we doubt and when we say, well, it's not going to work, it never works out. Like Paul said, pressing toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's interesting that because of this fact, if we're perfect, meaning that we are established, we are in the right place in our mindset and our heart towards God, we're going to have this mindset. We're pressing toward the mark, the goal that God has given to us. We're going to run. In other places, Paul says, I'm not the one that beats the air, 1 Corinthians 9. He took life seriously. He took service for the Lord seriously, but he wanted to see victory. He wanted to see successes. Do we plan to see victory in our life this year? Do we plan to have the goal of seeing victory in other people's lives? We'll always look at victory in our own life, but you know that we can be the instrument of helping other people see victory as well? Of seeing other people get saved, seeing other people have victory over sin, encouraging someone who is in despair, and seeing God work a victory. Every year we see victory after victory after victory at Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're so thankful for that. And do we plan to see another year of even more victories? Like, well, the victories of years past have been enough. Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forth unto those things which are before. Going forward, we are so thankful for God's work of last year, but we plan to see new things this year. Amen. That's our goal. And you know, well, God, I grew so much in the Lord last year. That's great. Don't lean on that. Look to see how God's going to grow you this year. Is that your goal? So I challenge you tonight. Will you have goals like these men did? Will you ask God what goals you should set? You know what? We always aim low on the goals. Amen. Because we think of goals and what we can do. We always aim low on the goal setting. But I say, God, what would you have me to do? Because God will enable us to get there. So don't set your own goals. Pray and ask God what he would have you to do. He'll let you know. God always aims high. God always aims at the right place. God always aims at excellence. Amen. Spiritually and every other area. God never calls us to be slipshod. God never calls us to be second best. God calls us to give our very best for him. So what are your goals this year? Will you pray and ask God, Lord, what goals would you have me to set? Lord, will you? And make it a matter of prayer. I mean, serious prayer. Get out a sheet of paper. And Brother Starr described it in this way. And it works. Have goals for every area of your life, for your family. Start with goals for yourself, then goals for your family, goals for your kids, and then break them down, because we set goals. My goal is to read the Bible through twice this year, and boom, we set our goal. Okay, how are you going to do it? I don't know, I'm just going to do it. That's not good enough, you got to break it down. Well, how many chapters are you going to read a month? Well, I don't know. Well, how many verses are you going to read a day? Or how many chapters are you going to read a day? How much do you have to do to get there? You know, we can all do that. We all have calculators, amen. If you have a smartphone, you have a calculator, right? We have 365 days a year. And then we divide how many verses are in the Bible. And I feel terrible right now because I forgot how many verses there are in the Bible. There's a lot. Another 66 books in the Bible. Isn't it like 3,000 or something? I think something like that. Man, I feel like a terrible pastor right now. Because I forgot. I used to know, but I totally forgot. Then we divide that, or how many chapters, how many verses there are. And then we divide how many chapters we have to do a day. Oh, by the way, plan to have maybe 2 sick days in there. That, you know, you're in the hospital or something. You know, make sure that you set an attainable goal. Pastor, I am going to read a whole book of the Bible a day. That's great. But it's unless you're reading the book of Jude, it probably is not going to happen. There's only 20 verses in the book of Jude, so it's pretty easy to attain to that. Maybe 1st or 2nd Timothy, you know, some of the epistles, some of the minor prophets. Yes, you can read in one sitting, in one day. But I'm going to read the entire book of Leviticus in 2 days, Pastor. I'm going to do that. I'll pray for you. Make an attainable goal. And if God tells you to do that, then do it. But at the same time, make a realistic, attainable goal, because those goals that are unattainable never get done. The goals that are way up here. You know, if I make a goal tomorrow, I am going to start running 5 miles a day starting tomorrow. You will probably hear that pastor went to the hospital. probably. I might get to mile one, maybe mile two, but no, I'm not going to get to mile five. I'm probably going to go into respiratory arrest and die right in the parking lot. Okay, but you know, I've got too much to carry around. I'm not too far out of shape. But what? Maybe I'll start running a half a mile for a week, three times a week. And then the next week, I'll maybe bump it up to 3/4 of a mile, maybe 6/10 of a mile. You know, I don't want to get too crazy about it. But, you know, do that. Do what I can do. Build up my endurance. But my goal in a few months' time or in 6 months' time is to be able to run 5 miles. And I almost did it last year. My goal last year was to be able to run a 5K by the end of the summer. And I got 3/4 of the way there, then I broke my wrist. And I tried running with a broken wrist. That hurts, by the way. I found that. I tried running once because, you don't realize that blood flow and everything in your bones, yeah, that hurts when you're trying to run when you have something broken. And so I stopped doing it. So I never got back into doing it, but this year I'm going to start doing it and get back into doing it again. And my goal is to be able to run a 5K by summertime. Pray for me about that. That's a goal, but I'm not going to do it all at one time. Oh, next week I'll be able to run a 5K. No, I have to make an attainable goal every day or have a plan on how to do it. Need to break it down, make it attainable. Then you will see, before you know it, you'll realize that you're attaining your goals. You're accomplishing something. Have a list. Check it off. Dave Ramsey from the Total Money Makeover has this. It's the same way of setting a goal. It said you're in debt. Have a big sheet, have a big poster in your bedroom of all the accounts that you have and how much debt you have. Start with the smallest one first, because when you pay one of them off, you attained one of your goals. And you feel like you accomplished something. And then you'll pay more. And as you go along and you cross off the amount and you cross off account after account, and when you can see what you've accomplished, they say, oh, it's hopeless. We're not getting where, hey, we paid off 4 credit cards. We paid off. We're getting somewhere. We're attaining our goal. Visualize it. See it. Write it down. Even your spiritual goals, write them down and check them off as you go through the year. And God will be able to use you and grow you. This thought of setting goals did not used to be a foreign thing in our land. It used to be the basis of our society. And unfortunately now with a lot of young people, we have to teach them how to set goals now. Because that used to be just part of society, part of our culture. I mean, you set a goal, you go for it. We need to be able to set goals. If we just exist in 2018, we'll never accomplish anything for the Lord. We won't be going forward, we'll be going backward. We just can't live and exist. Set a goal. Set a goal that you're going to read some Christian books this year. Well, I don't have time. Make time for it. We schedule our time. If you find out if you schedule your time and you set blocks of time for certain things, you'll be surprised how much time you actually didn't realize he had. And we start doing things because we waste a lot of our time. I'm not preaching to myself, okay? We waste a lot of our time. And we can spend 50 minutes a day reading a book, or 20 minutes a day reading a book. After about 2 weeks, you'll have a book read. Because most books only take you 3 to 4 hours to read. Depending on how big the book is. If it's a small book, it only takes you a couple hours. But you break that up over 5 days of the week, 20 minutes a day for 5 days of the week, you can read a book every week and a half. So that's an example of making attainable goals. What goals are you going to have this year? Are we going to set them? Lord, what would you have me to do? Let God set them and let God lead you how to attain your goals.